From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Welcome, and this is Dan Frio, and thank you so much for tuning in. We had a huge week this week between the Democratic Super Tuesday, the coronavirus, the Federal Reserve, some other data that came out. Let's dissect this. So what I like the show to be about isn't things that, you know, it's basically generic. You know, the Dow went up 100 points. What does that do to you? Nothing. So what I try to do is break it down to where this might fit into your life. So let's talk about, first of all, the Democratic Super Tuesday. For me personally, I don't think it was a shocker. I hate talking politics, but I'll give you my two cents. Bernie Sanders is way too far left. That's why I don't think he got the votes that he was expecting. I watched the markets as the voting came in, and as Joe Biden started winning more and more states, markets started going up as well. So during the beginning stages, there were some predictions about Bernie Sanders, and the stock market actually started going down. And then a reversal took place, and Joe Biden's numbers started to come in, and the stock market started to go up. Why is that? Well, I think, again, I'm not saying personally, but I think just the interpretations of the markets is Bernie's too far left for healthcare. A lot of the healthcare stocks were getting pounded, and then all of a sudden, I think they had a 10% rebound when Joe Biden took the main part of the votes. Another piece of that is just the markets think that Joe Biden would be more beneficial to the business environment. That was another piece of that puzzle. So we saw the stock market pretty much rally during that time. Now let's turn the tables around a little bit and talk about the coronavirus. There's a bunch of studies that I've been following that is the coronavirus overhyped? And I'm not, you know, no disrespect if somebody lost a loved one because of this or that you're infected. I'm not trying to disrespect there. What I'm trying to say is what I want the show to be about is facts. I don't want to be right wing, left wing. I don't want to be a fear monger. I don't want to tell you things to kind of spur marketing. And a lot of the news, if you watch this, a lot of it is, you know, it's a pandemic. The wording they're using, I think, is overblown for marketing purposes. I wanted to pull the facts for you. So this was an interesting fact that I pulled up. Do you know how many people, let's go this way first. There's 3,310 deaths reported from the coronavirus so far since its inception. Do you know how many people died from falling? The average yearly fatalities for people falling per year. The number is 646,000 people die a year from falling. Falling. We have 3,300 that died from the coronavirus.
I've coughed up scarier stuff than that.
So is the coronavirus an epidemic? Well, if it is, then falling now is an epidemic. So now let's turn the table over to this. We have this epidemic, okay? And it is devastating. And I learned a lot of this from Steve Cortez when he was on, and I had lunch with him. He's going, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't get. The manufacturing in China has been devastated. So now that's going to devastate basically the world economy.
Did you see the air quality things they were talking
about? Yeah, you mentioned that earlier.
Japan and South Korea have had some of the cleanest air in decades because there's so many factories that are either slowed or shut in China that the air is actually cleaner.
There is a silver lining behind all of this.
Chinese goods might get slightly more expensive. Maybe there's more incentive to buy U.S. You never know.
So basically products are being made in today's world. There's not a lot of inventory taking place. It's on demand. So So when you need a production of X amount of, you know, 100,000 masks, there's not a lot of inventory. So it automatically triggers the production of those items. So with the devastation in China and all these manufacturing shutting down, there's a lot of, I'll say, less product out there. Okay, so that's causing havoc in the whole world. And now again, because of the, I would say, fear-mongering, you know, you have some deaths in Italy, you have some deaths in South Korea, North Korea, all the other, some of the other areas. And I'm not downplaying that. There are people dying, and I you know, that's terrible when anybody dies. But is it as devastating as, you know, it's being led to be? On Dan and Amy's show this, I think it was on Thursday this week, they had a specialist on there, and he was a doctor down, I think, at Northwestern Hospital, and he came on, and he's a specialist in this field, and he kind of had the same information about that. He's saying, you know, you don't worry as much as everybody's leading you to believe, okay? So now the next piece of this puzzle is, there was shocking news out on, I think it was Tuesday, the Federal Reserve came in and dropped the federal funds rate, okay? And I want to explain what the federal funds rate is, because I get inundated with phone calls saying, hey, Dan, the Fed just dropped rates 50 basis points, or a half a percent. So I'm the assumption is my mortgage now, the mortgage rate I'm getting, is dropped by a half a percent. No, not even close. There is no direct correlation between the federal funds rate and mortgage rates. What is the federal funds rate? Well, in the United States, the federal funds rate is the interest rate at which banks and credit unions lend reserve balances to other depository institutes overnight on an uncollateralized basis. In English, it is basically their overdraft protection when they need reserves. Here's an example. At the end of the day, the banks and credit unions have to have X amount of reserves on their balance sheets. So let's say, you know, one bank needs $1 billion in assets to cover all their collateralization, and they end of the day and they have $900 million. So they're $1 million short, or $100 million short. Bad math. They have to get that money from somewhere, as such as what we, you know, basically an overdraft protection. So they go to another bank and says, you know, we need $100 million overnight because we have to satisfy this balance, and we need, you know, we need it. The interest rate charged on that money is that. That's it. It's not the prime rate. It's not your credit card rate. It's not your home mortgage rate. It's not your car interest rate. That is specifically what the federal funds rate is and what the Federal Reserve controls. However, when they do this, it can have a correlation on other rates, such as the prime rate, which it normally does. So when the Federal Reserve comes in and they reduce the federal funds rate, a lot of the institutions come back and they reduce the prime rate, which then is a factor of, or many times a part of, home equity loans. So that is truly what the Federal Reserve controls. Okay. So now when it comes to mortgage rates and the stock market, what happens is those two pieces there can and normally are affected in one of two ways: positively or negatively. You can have the stock market actually go up because of that, or you can have it go down, which we saw this week, believe it or not. Why? Well, a lot of people are saying, okay, the Fed's jumping in. That's even now triggering more bad news that they know that we don't know. So then the market plummeted. And then the next day it went up 100 or 1100 points. And then the next day it went down 800 points. And then the next day, that's not a common or normal market. Now, mortgages, I'll bore you to death for another minute. Mortgages are determined or factored in by what's called the mortgage-backed securities market. And those are bonds that trade on Wall Street that affect or create or establish mortgage rates. So if you watch my YouTube channel, it's the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I post every night and tell you what's going on. If you're a realtor, you're a mortgage advisor, you're in the housing market, you want to, you're interested in refinancing, check out the channel. You'll learn a lot of things I think you wouldn't otherwise know, and I give you the facts. I hope if you need a mortgage, you use me. If you don't, that's fine. I'm here to educate you to make sure you make wise decisions. So the mortgage-backed securities market that day crashed. Why? Well, we saw the Federal Reserve lower rates. So you're thinking, well, mortgage rates just went down. The stock market, that's great news for the stock market because now people are going to invest more. They have more confidence in the economy. So that would create a rise in stocks. Well, both things didn't happen. Stocks went down. Mortgage rates went up. So that's what's the federal funds rate. And that's what the Federal Reserve does. So I hope you got a lot of information out of this. The show is actually, what I want to create is giving you the facts. And I want to thank these sponsors because they make this possible. Dottie Dose from Echo Home Inspections, Inc. Gary Hall of Remax Central. AD Supplies by Patrick Frio. Stuart Ramirez, eSignature Realty. Tom Mirabali, your independent insurance provider with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Pat Noon of PGN Tax Solutions Group, Credit Scores and More, and Joe Trabuzio with Universal Masonry Group. And you can find all these sponsors on my website at thefrioteam.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. Now, of course, I'm Dan Frio. In the studio today, my friend Gary Hall of RE/MAX Central. The reason why I asked Gary in was after the Super Bowl, it seems like the floodgates start to open up with people looking to buy homes. It's basically we hit Thanksgiving and it stops. And then Super Bowl hits and the light switch clicks back on. So welcome, Gary.
And the productive agents are working their butts off on Super Bowl Sunday and get out there and start hitting it.
So what I want to talk about, in the first segment, I was going over the economy and the coronavirus and a whole bunch of other things. And, you know, what the Fed did, and I think it was, I don't agree with what they did. You know, I think it might be warranted down the road. But in the next segment, I'm going to talk about how when the Fed drops rates, there's no direct correlation to mortgage rates. However, the indirect correlation has put mortgage rates at the lowest ever in history. I was just telling you off the mic, we've been locking in FHA loans at 2.875. I can't give an APR because there's various loans that we're locking, mm-hmm. So it depends on loan amounts and everything else. So I've been doing this for 32 years. Never, ever, ever in my whole lifetime have I seen rates under 3% on a 30-year fixed.
Fantastic.
What are is that spurring up activity for you guys with buyers? And thanks for coming in, Gary.
We are still not at that avenue where we've got the buyers loading up. We're still dealing with the ramifications what the Fed did a year and a half ago. And so it's like it's just starting. We're starting to turn that corner.
The Fed meaning they raised rates?
Raised rates back then. And that caused more stagnation last year.
Yeah.
And we're starting to pull out of those doldrums. Got and it. We're trying to make people wake up. Hey, it's an election year now. The politicians are all jockeying. Look at the inventory. It's starting to grow again. Yeah. Spring is in the air. This is the time to hit it. Now you got once-in-a-lifetime rates. Let's do it.
Oh, it's nuts. Right.
And in my case, my ratio's out of whack again. I see a trend of last year. I'm going to be loading up on those listings, and the buyer count is still light.
Got it. So everybody listening out there probably like, I know that guy's voice. Who is he?
This is Gary Hall from RE/MAX Central, the realtor that invests in you more than any other local agent.
Tell me what you do. And it's you and I have debates over what you do.
Yes,
and we always have this debate.
Well, the United States Treasury likes what I do. I spent so much money on my clients, they had to check me out, and they found out Gary does do these things.
You do it.
I do it, man.
Tell me what you do for them.
So let's talk about Allied Value. You're going out to buy your first home. You're nervous. You go with Gary, I'm going to talk you out of a bad deal. I have to show you 30, I have to show you 40, we're going to do it. I'm not going to be a used car salesman and push you into the first home you run into. Forget that. I'm in long-term relationships. I've got about a 95% plus retention rate. I'm going to bring my checkbook the day of the inspection once we put a contract in and pay for your inspection up to a $700 value. No local agent will do this for you. It's a rarity. I use Echo Home Inspection, one of our other sponsors for the program.
Yeah, Dottie.
And Dottie will come in and they'll hold the check for me for about a month or so. And we get a little closer to the closing and we match it up. And that's a business expense that I'm willing to absorb. If a deal blows up, I'll pay for a second one. So I put my money where my mouth is. I put my skin in the game.
What I'll do for Gary's clients as well, if you're listening to the station, I will, my skin in the game for you, is I'll credit you back your appraisal fee. So between the two of those, it's $1,000 they're going to say.
$1,000. So here you have a veteran agent, a veteran loan officer. We're gonna get you into a good deal. Dan's going to bring his experience to bear. He's going to give you a phenomenal rate, phenomenal closing costs. And now, if you go to work with Gary, look about. That's $1,000. You're trying to buy your first place. That $1,000 is huge.
And you have a team that works together.
Correct.
Versus here's what I find a lot of times, and then we'll get back on the subject, is a lot of realtors out there will push you to their lender.
Correct.
That isn't always the best game in town. Most of the time, it's not the best game in town.
And as Dan knows, I have three loan officers I work with. My number one guy right now is sitting across from the table from me. If my people have their own lender, you work with your own lender. But I'm going to give you those three options. Dan has the most products to offer, and especially for buyers who are starting out or may have credit challenges, things like that. I'm going to send them to Dan first. Then I've got two other gentlemen that work very well who are kind of in a backup mode for me. So I always give three choices of everything. And that's what good agents will do. If you don't have a professional, we're going to get you a professional. And I'm not going to push somebody down your throat. If you've got your own attorney, you have your own inspector, you have your own lender, we're going to work with your team. But if you need those people, between the two of us sitting here, we got 50 years experience working for you to the positive.
And it's not a hard sell.
No.
A lot of times, right now, I'm getting a lot of people sending me their loan estimates and quotes from other lenders. Probably 80% of the time, I beat it. Those 20% of the time, I don't beat it. I'm like, you know what? God bless you. Take it.
See,
it's money that you're getting.
There you go. And let's get into that. Dan is going to be perfectly honest with you. If he gets in that 15, 20% scenario, there could be that other lender out there that has some special product, or they're going to give you a little better closing costs, a little better rate, and we're going to have you stay with that lender. Guess what? You have an honest realtor here, and you have an honest loan officer. Imagine that.
That's uncalled for. That's like
we're the last of a dying breed, brother.
It's like for years, I kind of felt like a used car salesman. Because you have this guy's cutting that guy's throat, this girl's cutting that, and it's just like, you know, I'll give you my best quote out of the gate, and it is what it is. You might find somebody who beats me. Here's what I want to ask you. I'm going to throw you a curveball. These companies, I think I know the answer to this. If you list somebody's house and it doesn't sell for 60, 90, 120 days, like other advertisements you hear, will you go out there and buy that person's home?
I'm not going to buy somebody's property. I'm going to get into that gimmick. What I'm going to do is with all the real.
Why?
It's ridiculous to be that desperate to offer a program like that. I'm going to buy your property.
So
no.
They're shrewd business people. Are they paying top price for that house?
No.
So how's it done? Basically the house is worth $200,000, and they say,
I know some veteran
agents. I'll give you $150,000.
Yeah, that's right. So the house is worth $225,000, and they're going to give you a wholesale number, and they're going to say, oh, here's $150,000, here's $160,000.
Right.
And you're going to have to agree to that in writing up front.
Right.
I don't roll that way. Unlike other agents who are going to sit you and lock you in for 6 months, a year, I'm going to give you a six-month listing, and my broker approves this. I do, once again, doing things other people will never do. It's going to state in writing on there that you can terminate your listing with a phone call.
So there's
or a text. So that way,
you're not handcuffing anybody.
The agency agreement's there. I assume the risk. I pay for the stager. I pay for the professional photography, the professional video, all the exposure you're getting. And if you're not happy, you're 30 days into a 60 days. It's like, Gary, I want to go try Marriott Century 21. No problem. We part friends. You call me up. We'll cancel it on the spot. You have that flexibility. because doubt comes in and nothing is 100%. Now, thankfully, in many cases, my clients, 6 months later, the phone's ringing and I get the listing back. And sometimes it doesn't. And the client ends up doing what I told them to do in the first place, get the price in the zone. They work mm-hmm. with my other realtor friends and they get the house sold. I want them to get the house sold. Yeah. That's the whole thing. So I'm still working behind the scenes, and they still call me right. when they're not. It's like, you're not really supposed to be calling me now because you're with my yeah. friend over there. So deal with my friend and work it out.
And the tough thing I see on my side of the fence, and it's the same with you, is we all think our house is worth more than it is.
That's the problem with the emotional attachment.
I get that on my end, too.
And there's 10 listings a year I don't pick up because I will walk in and be blatantly honest about what the market will bear.
And what you're going to get,
and
most
what
likely.
What you're going to get for the house. And there's plenty of agents that will go along and feed off those emotions, and they'll take the listing, and they'll abuse a family for a year. You're going to have all this market time. And one thing that's really tough for me is to come in and clean up somebody else's mess.
Yeah.
Then I got to come in. The family's been used and abused. Now they hate realtors. And now I got to mm-hmm. come in, and I'm the cleanup guy. And now I got to pick up this listing. And everything I do is micromanaged because the other party didn't get his or her job done. But they picked up 5 indirect buyers in 12 months off of you because you were $50,000 too high.
Right.
You have to understand what's happening.
Yeah. My rate's 3.5. Somebody else comes in. They're at 3. I'm like, you're not getting that. You're not going to get it. Then they feed them all the way to a week before the closing and said, you know what? We never locked your lock didn't go through. Now your rate's 3.625. And then they're calling me, Dan, can I get the 3.5?
It's too late now.
Well, then that's exactly why they do that. So in your side of the fence.
There's lenders out there, folks. They do the bait and switch. Yep. And how they cover their tails is, well, you didn't qualify for that program. And they didn't lock your rate. And now you're 2 weeks before closing. You want to get your house. They got you over a barrel.
Same thing with the realtor stuff.
Realtor stuff. These are people that want it. They're transactional. They want to see you once. Now, Dan and I want to be talking to you 5-10 years from now. That's it. So we're willing to be honest up front and honest through the whole process. So that way, there's a probability you may still like us in the end.
I hope to God you still like us in the end. We're going to come back with Gary again. I have some Q&A things that I want to go over with you on how some of these people do this. And what has the lower rates helped with purchase power? And I had a conference last week and I was asking a bunch of Q&A to the audience, and it's amazing how most people are about 50% right at the time when it comes to questions in regards to getting a house, buying a house, and the transaction. So don't go away. Gary, give everybody your information, how they get a hold of you. And he's a sponsor on my website. He's a sponsor of our program. And I'll have all the data. I promise you, our website is down for a couple days. It'll be launched back up in about a week, and it'll be phenomenal. It's completely changed. We're rebranding everything. So, Gary, how do they get a hold of you?
We'll start with my phone number. That's 847-651-1993. The number again is 847-651-1993. Check me out on Facebook, my business page, Gary Hall Realtor. And check out my website, GaryHallSells.com.
I want to thank these sponsors because they make this possible. Dottie Dose from Echo Home Inspections, Inc. Gary Hall of Remax Central. AD Supplies by Patrick Frio. Stuart Ramirez, East Signature Realty. Tom Mirabali, your independent insurance provider with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Pat Noon of PJN Tax Solutions Group. Credit Scores and More. And Joe Tribuzio with Universal Masonry Group. And you can find all these sponsors on my website at thefrioteam.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the show. This is Dan Frio. I usually try at the end of the show or the last segment is to do a credit hack. So I'm going to go to George on this one. George, is there any common threads of the call-ins? We got a lot of call-ins.
We got a lot of call-ins. We got a lot of questions on comment sections on your YouTube.
What's one of the main questions that you get most often?
Well, there's a ton of them, but we've covered a lot of them, like how many credit scores you have and all that. And if anybody hasn't heard or seen that stuff, go through the YouTube videos or go through the podcast page because all this stuff's been covered. But the most common one that we get is actually one that I hadn't really thought of. there's a lot of people who look at this stuff and they're trying to get their credit better, to get a loan or to get refinanced, or maybe they missed a few payments, so they're waiting out that year. The most common question has to do with the amount of time it takes. So if you pay your credit card, they report that right away, you know, at the statement date, but it doesn't show up on your credit for like 60 days. And people wonder why it takes so long for things to show up on their credit report.
Great question. So what normally happens is you get your statement that when your statement gets issued, that data gets pushed out to the credit agencies. So it'll say, you know, you have that American Express bill, you owe $1,000, and all that data gets pushed out. You get the statement, you pay off the $1,000, and you're thinking, okay, well, now on my credit report, it's going to say zero balance because I just paid it. No. Because what happens is the date that the statement was issued, you had the $1,000 balance. Okay, so here's what happens. It usually does take, you know, a 30 to 45 days, maybe 60 days and sometimes to cycle through. But again, by the next cycle, the new statement goes out and there's a balance on it again. And now it shows up with that balance on your credit report. So here's one of the systems I use, and this is kind of unique to this industry. When I pull your credit, it'll give me your credit scores, but then it also comes back and says, you know, you can pick up these many points if you do this. So for example, you owe $1,000 on your American Express bill. Your high credit limit is 1,000. It's really devastating. I won't put it that way. It's really affecting your mortgage or your credit scores in a bad way. Okay. So what that system tells me is if we pay that account down to X, you'll pick up this many points. Here's where that comes in. Here's where that's really effective. The best mortgage rate you can get is established at a 740 credit score or higher. So let's say, for example, I pull your credit and you're at a 730. What could we do to get you to 740? Well, I might come back and say, pay down that American Express bill. So you pay it down, and then you normally have to wait. Here's what I do. I'll ask you, after you pay that down, wait a day or two for that payment to cycle, call American Express, get a balance letter, send me that balance letter, I'll send it into our reporting agency, and I'll have it fixed within 48 hours, and I'll have you rescored. So recapping is, you have a 730 credit score. We need to get you over 740. The system tells me that that person needs to pay down that bill $500. If you do that, we'll pick up 30 points. That puts us over the 740 where we need to be. So I come back to you and say, okay, pay down that American Express bill, $500. 2 days later, call them and get a balance letter. Send that to me. Within 2 days after that, we'll have your credit scores updated. We'll have that balance updated, and we'll be over a 740 credit score. And that's the process. So that's how I help you get around that issue.
And you can do it pretty much right away, like you were saying.
I mean, absolutely. I can have you fixed within the week.
Yeah, no waiting on
instead
that.
Instead of waiting 45 to 60 days.
Fair enough.
So, okay, what's the next question, George? I hope that was a good answer.
I think that was more than I knew about it. Next question is actually it was a voicemail we got, but I didn't have the audio. I apologize. But Denise in Elgin is asking, how much time does she need to have the money in her account for her down payment prior to her pre-approval in order to not need a gift letter?
Great question. Here's what I would suggest you do. If the money hasn't transferred yet, don't transfer it. Let's do the gift letter, because the gift letter isn't as devastating as most people think. But what has to be, let's say you moved it into the account. We can also get around that by still doing a gift piece, validating, let's say mom and dad gave you the money. If we can show the money came out of their account, say $10,000, and you put the $10,000 into your account directly, and everything matches up, we can use it as that way. But let's say they gave you cash. Cash is bad. I mean, believe it or not, everybody's cash is king, but not in the mortgage business.
Well, in real estate, they're looking to prevent money laundering,
exactly.
Right? So cash is exactly what you don't want.
Exactly. So it has to be there for 60 days or two banking cycles. So
that's not that long.
But many times the banking cycles might be, you might have hit it kind of like that credit card thing. You might have hit it at a bad time. What we could do is go back and ask your bank, go to the bank and ask them to print you a detailed history going back 60 days. I need 60 days worth. So they can print you a transaction detail going back 60 days. They'll actually, and they do this probably every day, they'll stamp it and sign it that it's factual. Get that to me and we can use that as well.
So this one's from a YouTube comment. All it says was Alan, so I don't know whoever Alan is. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for calling. And if you put something on YouTube, check it, because I can almost guarantee you that I replied.
Yeah. So this was a question. It's an interesting one that I hadn't really thought of. This is a little bit long-winded, but let me paraphrase it here for radio.
Sure.
He was trying to improve his credit. He had two cars. One was almost paid off. One they just bought. He had an existing mortgage payment that he's looking to refinance. He had some credit card accounts, and his wife had some store accounts, like Kohl's. It says Kohl's and Ulta. I think that's a makeup thing.
Yeah.
So, and he paid off and closed a few accounts, but then his mortgage guy yelled at him. Yeah. And so he's wondering what types of accounts you'd want him to keep and what types of accounts you'd want him to get rid of. So you'd want to pay off your car, right? But you don't necessarily want to close your revolving credit accounts because.
Perfect. Great question. And we get this a lot because people are like, why? I don't use that account anymore. Why wouldn't I just close it? Well, it's kind of an in-depth question, but I'll explain to what you what will close. You have no options of closing. Your car loan's going to close out. You pay all the payments and then it's done. It's done. But your credit cards, what happens is there's a utilization rate or ratio for all of your credit. And then there's a utilization ratio for every account that you have. So let me break it down. If you have a Visa account and you have a $1,000 high credit limit, and your utilization rate plays a main point of your credit scoring systems. We like that to be 30% of your high credit limit or lower.
So on that $1,000 card, it's $300.
Correct. So if you're $300 or less owed on that account, you're probably in very good shape. We probably can't pick up that many more points if we did anything with it. Okay. So let's say you have five accounts of that. So you have five $1,000 accounts. So now your overall utilization ratio is factored on the balance that you owe on all those cards divided by the 5,000, your total overall credit.
And it's not separated from different types of credits, right? It's all of your debt and all of your income and all of your total credit available.
Yes. And basically, these are accounts on the revolving side because, again, installments aren't really factored in this way. Okay, because otherwise, as soon as you bought a car, you owe $30,000. The balance is $30,000. You'd be devastated.
Right. So also, I think with installment payments, mortgages, cars, things like that, if you're newly married and you get suckered into buying $1,000 of dishware or something, those are things that you actually receive a product for. So for the most part, you actually have something with some equity, whether it's a house or a car or whatever. There's something on the back end of that payment.
Yeah.
That you have. So when those close, you still have that thing.
That item, yeah.
When you keep a credit card open, like a Visa card or MasterCard or something, you have that credit available. So either way, right. You're still holding something of that value.
Correct. So on that, let's say, for example, that, and you had three accounts that you had $1,000 on each, and the other two zero. So now you owe $3,000 of the total of $5,000 in all your overall available debt. So that's 3/5 of your utilization rate.
Right.
Hopefully that makes sense.
Yep.
Now you close the two that have zero balances.
Oh.
Now you owe $3,000 of $3,000. Now you're at 100% utilization rate.
Right.
That's going to affect you.
Now,
so that's why we don't want you.
$3,000 on $5,000, 60%. So you want it down to 30%, right?
Right.
So if you were to pay $1,500 off of those accounts or open another account with a high credit limit, that's going to effectively remove that barrier. That's going to lower that ratio enough for you to be able to get a loan.
There is no direct science behind this. There is, but nobody knows.
So it just comes down to the underwriter and his guidelines or what?
The credit report is all a computerized system. So it's just, so we have a system that we use that a lot of people don't have. where it'll tell me what we can or can't do to help you increase your credit scores. It's legal. It's built into the system, the algorithms and everything that the creator used. But we go in and say, okay, if we paid down this account to this, this is exactly what it'll do to your credit scores. And it's exact. If I come back and say to you, you know, we need to pick up 20 points and it's saying we have to pay Discover down $500. If you pay it down $500, we're going to pick up those points exactly, unless something else transpired during the time that we did this. But what we do is we focus on that account. And, you know, if we do it in a timely manner, most of the time, probably 99% of the time, we're getting exactly what we expected. I hope that all makes sense. So to find out more about me and about all these services that I have, I am a mortgage advisor in the Chicagoland area, have been for over 32 years. I have a huge following on YouTube, The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. You'll find me there. You got to know who you're dealing with. Let's say you're putting a $500,000 investment in something. You're not just going to go Google invest $500,000 and the first person that pops up as an ad, you're not going to click into there and send them your money. Why are you doing that with your mortgage? Why are you doing that with a home? So Google The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio or Dan Frio. You're going to see hopefully about 5, 6, 7 pages. You're going to have my Google reviews, my Yelp reviews, my YouTube videos, my podcasts, my every rating you can about me and everything that I've done over the life that I've been doing this. My website's going to be down until about the 8th or the 9th. We're revamping everything. We rebranded our name. We rebranded everything. And our technology is going to be out the roof.
Yeah, doing some very cool things.
But I urge people to call me. So come give me a call at 844-775-LOAN. Or shoot me an email at danny.frio@preferredrate.com. We'll be right back.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back. This is Dan Frio. Last week, we ran out of time. We had a phenomenal show with John Anthony from Black and Right. John can be heard Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. on 560, The Answer. We went over a variety of topics, but we ran out of time due to time constraints with the radio. So what I wanted to do is pick up the pieces that we left off at that we weren't able to air last week, and I want to air them now because you're going to find this informative. A lot of it is specific to Illinois, and it will affect you directly. And the show was amazing. It got great reviews on radio. It got great reviews on YouTube. And we had probably our biggest hits on our podcast. So I wanted to conclude this show with the information that we couldn't air last week. I have special guest John Anthony. You can hear him Saturdays on WIND Radio in Chicago from 1 to 3 p.m. every Saturday. So here's my question, and it might get a little, I won't say sticky, but...
Okay.
The politics, especially on the left, especially in Illinois, is very race baited.
Yes.
You know, it frustrates me. So I'm going to ask your opinion. You okay. have Biden. He comes out there and they just pander the black vote. I'm great with the blacks. I'm great with the this. I'm great with the that. I don't
except
know
corn pop. He didn't get along with corn pop.
Yeah. I don't know about you. What's good for all of us? It's like they're pandering to that base that they're, yes. you know, and again, we're going to go back to insanity. I want your take on it.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. I want the truth behind it. You know, you go into the inner cities, the schools are terrible. The employment's terrible. The infrastructure's terrible, but the vote keeps going on for decades the same way. You know, maybe try the other side of the aisle for, you know, not just one term. Give it some time and see, you know, what happens. I want your true, honest opinion about the whole thing, you know, basically what I laid out.
There was a question posed in 2016. What do you have to lose? I think President Trump has answered that question. And I think you said, wake up. I do believe you're starting to see black and brown waking up. I think when you see what Trump is doing with the black voices for Trump, he just opened 12 offices in black communities throughout the United States of America.
Yeah.
You ever heard of a president opening up an office in a black community to try to have to do outreach to bring them on and bring them into the fold? I think when you look at Pete Buttigieg drinking a 40 ounce out of a bottle, you see, remember Clinton with the hot sauce. I eat my hot sauce.
Yeah.
You know, they changed their dialect and everything. But I really believe you're starting to see, you know, a great awakening in the Black and Browns communities. Because one of the reasons why you see a lot of the Blexits, the Jexits, the Lexits, and that means all of the, that means the Jews are waking up. That means the Latinos are waking up. That means the Blacks are waking up. The Asians are waking up. Everybody is realizing for so long, decade old Democrat pandering has to stop. And they are starting to realize, something's not right about how they, every time it's just right around election time, they come out to our communities to get our vote, but we don't see them anywhere. And that's one of the things I believe. And I've told the Republican Party, I've told Tim Schneider, and I've told Derek Murphy, we have to go in the inner cities and stay there. Don't go anywhere if we want to flip this state around. And it's about actually figuring out how do we make their lives better, not with government intervention, but allowing them to understand and open up and flourish and become better citizens and productive citizens themselves. And I think that's the message that Trump is resonating with his criminal justice reform. With when you look at, I'm actually having Tony Rankin on the show, the guy that Trump highlighted during the State of the Union with the Opportunity Zones. I mean, these are ways. You want to know how you help Black and Brown? And you know, I don't call myself an African American. I'm not from Africa. I'm an American who just happens to be Black.
Right.
So I think you're starting to see that wake up. I spoke in Boone County Republican Party. Now, it was three Blacks in the room, myself, Peggy Hubbard, and someone else. They did a walk-away event in a predominantly white county. Don Salas, the chairman out there. They're starting, I think Republicans throughout the state of Illinois and throughout America are starting to realize the benefits of reaching out and actually engaging in Black and Brown communities. And I think it's paying off. And I think Trump, people really don't give him enough credit for what he's been able to do in Black and Brown communities.
I hope you're right. I'm going to go back to basically when you started the conversation. You have Clinton going out there and I eat hot sauce, you know, and then you have, you know, Buttigieg with the 40. That would tick me off. I mean, basically, if you got on there and said, oh, this pasta is good, I want you to vote for me, I'd be like, you know what? Really? Really?
Yeah.
That's what you're, that's how you're happening. Trying to pander my vote. Really?
That's what's happening.
Yeah.
People are realizing that.
So then you go back to, you know, Obama. I thought, and honestly, you know, I thought Obama might be, you know, a complete eye opener. But I'll say a white guy. I don't see what
he did. Well, I'm Blackish, so yeah. I'm Blackish.
You got it. I don't see what he did. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. Like, for example, they're pushing this, the Obamacare thing. I don't know about you, but my insurances went from like $700 to $900 to $1,000 to $1,500 with a $20,000 deductible. That's not affordable to me. I mean, my son broke his leg, so I had to spend, you know, $20,000 on my deductible, $1,500 a month, so I spent $30-something thousand before they pitched in a nickel. I make okay money. I don't make that much money. That's net money. I mean, you're talking $30,000 cash, net.
Yes.
So I got to make 50 grand to pay for his broken leg.
Yes, to pay for,
How's that affordable care? Now they're coming out with all these other plans, and they want, you know, this is going to be free. College tuition is going to be free. This is going to be free. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
The Green New Deal. Don't forget the Green New Deal.
So let me, I'm getting my blood pressure's getting up a little bit. I'll throw it back to you. Your comments on, you know, some of the things such as healthcare, the college, you know, making colleges free. Do I agree they should be free? I've already spent, my wife and I tallied up one day. I think we've spent, I have three kids. We probably spent $300,000 on their schooling. I won't say was it worth it or not, but I think the first thing we should do on that is before you say it's free, just like, you know, anything else, the schools will still, you know, run out of control with the costs. So now it's to taper them in and say, you know, we're going to start dropping prices. If the government's going to pay, let's just keep jacking up the prices. Why don't you put on cost controls before you do anything?
Saying I'm a free market guy.
Say you could grow on, you know, the GDP. That's how much you can increase your schooling prices. Right. I'm not for huge regulations, but there's no way, you know, the schooling and the healthcare can go up, you know, in costs, you know, 30, 40, 50% a year and be sustained. It's killing our kids and it's killing families, not literally, but financially. So I'll throw it to you. This was supposed to be me interviewing you, not me going off on a tangent. So I apologize. Well, you got my blood up, buddy. You got my blood up.
That's what happens when you're passionate about seeing when you know that a state like Illinois should be at the top of every economical statistical measuring tool, and we're not. We're dead last in almost every single tool. And I think, you know, when you look at education, I let the free market decide. I was a huge charter school supporter. I think I was the only legislator when I was in the General Assembly that voted against every anti-charter measure, even if it was an agreed bill. I voted against every single one of them because I thought that charter schools, I believe this with every fiber in my bone. When you look at competition, it's a great equalizer. It's the one thing that will lay out the playing field. And that's not taught enough in schools. That's not at least it wasn't taught enough coming up as a black guy in the Chicago public school system. So we have to be able to education. I'm telling you, it is something that will propel you. And that doesn't mean you have to go to a 4-year school to get educated. I got a lot of my education from the streets of Chicago. Absolutely. I'm gonna tell you just like that.
Yep.
We have to be willing to make the hard decisions. And I don't think you have enough political will in Springfield, even in D.C. to make those really, really hard decisions. I'm of the belief of Ronald Reagan, abolish the Department of Education. We shouldn't have a propaganda wing for education. I'm of that belief. Get rid of it. Bring it back to local control. Allow the people, allow the parents, allow the people who are actually involved in it to make those decisions, not some bureaucrat in Springfield or Washington. That's just my belief.
Got it. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on. I know that you stream every one of your shows on Facebook.
I do.
So can I go there and see last Saturday's show?
You know what? Last Saturday's show was, you guys, George, I hate you. I hate George.
Yeah, George, the producer, he's the one that asked me to ask you that.
I actually was trying to trim the video for a guest, but I did it a different way through Facebook instead of my software.
Yeah.
And when I deleted that video, it actually deleted the entire video. Don't. I was like, oh.
Don't you hate that? George put me up to that, so my apologies.
Yeah, I know he did.
So,
I know he did.
So, hey, I'd love to have you on once a month if you'd agree to it. It was awesome talking to you. I haven't talked to you before. I've listened to your shows, but I haven't talked to you.
So you've
been a great guest, and I greatly appreciate your time coming on. Again, God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Thanks again for coming.
God bless you.
So special thanks out to John Anthony of Black and Right. You can hear him every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. on AM 560, The Answer. And also a special thanks to Gary Hall for coming in today from RE/MAX Central. Gary's a great guy, and if you're looking to list your home or you're looking to buy a house in the Chicagoland area, please reach out to Gary, and I'll have his information on my sponsors page on my website, thefreeoteam.com. As always, thanks for listening, and have an awesome week.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626. Or online at thefrioteam.com.